Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 Masterclass on making a heavyweight air horn hit for jungle and old school D&B vibes. In this lesson, we're not just building a loud horn, we're building a horn that behaves like part of the rhythm section. It needs attitude, punch, and sub-impact, but it also needs to leave space for the breakbeat and bassline. That's the real trick. If the horn is too long, too wide, or too boomy, it turns into a muddy mess. If we shape it right, it becomes a proper rude boy weapon that lands hard in the groove. Start by setting your tempo somewhere in that classic drum and bass zone, around 170 BPM. You can work a little slower or faster, but 170 is a great sweet spot for this sound. Make sure you already have a breakbeat looping and a sub or bass line running, because this sound design only really makes sense in context. Horns like this live or die by how they sit against drums and bass, not by how impressive they sound on solo. We're going to build a three-layer horn. The first layer is the horn body. That's the main character, the brassy mid-range punch. The second layer is a short sub reinforcement, just enough low-end pressure to make the hit feel chesty. The third layer is the attack and grit layer, which gives the sound that speaker rattling edge so it can cut through a dense jungle mix. You can get the horn body from a sample, or build it with a synth like Wavetable, Operator, or Analog. If you use a sample, pick something short and aggressive with a strong transient and plenty of mid-range presence. You don't want a horn that's already drenched in reverb or super wide, because we're going to control that ourselves. If you're building it with Wavetable, start with a saw or square wave on oscillator 1, then add a second slightly detuned saw. Keep the unison modest. You want thickness, not a giant stereo cloud. Set the amp envelope fast. Almost zero attack, a decay somewhere around 250 to 500 milliseconds, little or no sustain, and a short release. That gives you that stab-like behavior. Then add a low-pass filter, something around 1.5 to 4kHz, and give it a little drive if the synth allows it. The goal is a horn-like stab that feels brassy, rude, and controlled. Once you have the main horn sound, build an instrument rack or an audio effect rack with three chains. Think of these as separate jobs rather than separate sounds. The first chain is the horn body. Put an EQ8 first, and high-pass it around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. If there's a boxy or honky area around 300 to 500 Hz, clean that up a bit. If it needs more presence, give a gentle boost around 1.5 to 2.5 kHz. After that, add saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip enabled. That helps the horn feel denser and more aggressive without simply turning it up. You can finish that chain with drum bus or glue compressor. Keep it subtle. We're talking about control and glue, not smashing it flat. The second chain is the sub reinforcement. This layer should be very short, almost like a low-end punch rather than a bass note. Operator is perfect for this. Use a sine wave, set the attack to zero, decay somewhere around 80 to 160 milliseconds, no sustain, and a short release. Pitch it to the root, or sometimes an octave below the main harmonic center if it feels better. Then low pass it around 120 Hz, remove the mids, keep it mono with utility, and use only a little saturation if needed. The purpose of this layer is to make the hit feel like it has weight in the chest, not to create a long subtail. The third chain is the attack and grit layer. This is the little top-end bite that helps the horn cut through all the breakbeat detail. You can create this from a noisy copy of the horn, a distorted duplicate, or a high-passed version of the body layer. Put on an auto filter and high-pass it somewhere around 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Then use overdrive, pedal, or a touch of redux if you want some roughness. Keep it subtle and focused on the upper mids. If it starts sounding like fizz instead of attitude, back it off. The job of this layer is to be felt more than heard. Now let's talk about the envelope, because this is where a lot of people go wrong. Horn hits in jungle and D&B need to feel like percussion. If they ring too long, they smear into the groove. If you're using simpler, set it to one shot and tighten the amp envelope. Keep the attack at zero, decay somewhere in the 200 to 450 millisecond range, and release short. If the sound feels soft, shorten the decay before you reach for more volume. A short, well-shaped hit usually sounds bigger than a longer, sloppier one. Transient control is just as important as volume. A good horn hit needs that initial click or punch so it snaps through the drums. Drum bus can help here. A little bit of transient emphasis can make a huge difference. If the attack feels too spiky, use a compressor to tame it. If the transient feels weak, trim the sample start more tightly or use a little saturation to sharpen the edge. In this style, the first few milliseconds matter a lot. Next, let's add space, but carefully. In jungle and old school D&B, Too much reverb can blur the break and make the groove lose focus. The best approach is to use return tracks. Put a short room or plate reverb on one return, with a decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, a little pre-delay, and filtering so the low end stays out of the way. Then send just a bit of the horn to it. That gives you size without washing out the hit. You can also create a delay return with echo. Try a dotted eighth or straight eighth delay, low feedback, and filters that keep the repeats from getting muddy. A little delay can make the horn feel like it's shouting across a warehouse, which is exactly the kind of energy we want. But again, keep it tight. This is a rhythm instrument, not a special effect floating in space. Now group the three layers together and process them as one instrument. Use EQ8 to clean up any mud in the low mids and tame harshness if needed. Add a little saturator or soft clipping to glue the combined sound together. Then use glue compressor lightly, so the layers feel like one unified hit. You can also use utility to check mono compatibility. That's a big one. If your horn disappears or loses power in mono, the core is too dependent on stereo width. In this style, mono is your first quality test. Now comes the musical part, placement. Don't just throw the horn anywhere. In jungle and TNB, horns often work best on offbeats, phrase endings, or as call and response accents with the break and bass. Try placing the horn on the end of two, the end of four, or right at the end of a two-bar phrase. You can also use it as a pickup into the drop. The important thing is that it feels intentional, like it's part of the drum arrangement rather than sitting on top of it. The horn and sub should work together, not against each other. If they hit at the same time, that can be powerful, but you need space. One option is to keep the horn's own sub layer very short and let the main subline carry the groove underneath. Another option is to sidechain the main sub slightly when the horn plays. Use a compressor with the horn as the sidechain input, fast attack, moderate release, and just a few dB of ducking. That creates a little pocket so the horn can punch through without the low end turning to soup. If you want extra movement, use automation. Open the filter a little on the second hit. Increase saturation slightly into the drop. Add a bit more delay or reverb send on the last phrase before a breakdown. Small moves like that give the horn a sense of progression without changing the core sound. It keeps the track alive. A good structure for this kind of sound is contrast. Let the horn appear, then disappear for a few bars. Bring it back at a key phrase ending. If the horn fires constantly, it stops feeling special. Silence makes the next hit feel bigger. Here is a useful mindset shift. Treat the horn like a drum hit first, and a synth second. That means your attack, decay, and placement matter more than making it lush or huge in isolation. Also, check it against the snare. In jungle and DNB, the horn often competes with snare energy in the same mid-range zone, so balance them together. If the horn and snare are both fighting for attention, you may need to carve a little space rather than just making one of them louder. If you want a darker, more worn and old-school texture, try resampling the horn and processing the bounced audio. A little auto filter, a touch of saturator, and very subtle redux can give it that rough warehouse character. You can also make a reverse copy of the horn body and tuck it just before the main hit for a bit of anticipation. Keep that reverse layer quiet and high-passed so it hints at the strike without giving away the punch. Another great variation is to create two versions of a horn. One can be dry and tight, the other slightly brighter and longer. Then alternate them in the phrase. That adds motion without needing a whole new sound. You can also make a pitch diving impact layer by duplicating the sub and adding a very fast downward pitch curve. Keep it subtle, because too much pitch dive can sound cartoonish. Used lightly, it makes the hit feel like it slams. For your practice, build a two-bar loop at 170 BPM with drums, bass, one horn hit in bar 1, and a second horn hit in bar 2 with a slightly different filter setting. Keep the main horn layer high-passed, keep the sub short and mono, use send-based reverb, and automate at least one parameter. Then listen in context, not just in solo. Check it against the drums, then against drums and sub together, then on headphones and small speakers. If it disappears on small speakers, you probably need more mid-range presence, not more volume. So the big takeaway is this: a heavyweight air horn hit is a designed rhythmic weapon. Build it from layers, keep the low end clean, shape the envelope tightly, use saturation for density, and place it with purpose in the groove. Do that, and your horn won't just be loud. It'll be rude, punchy, and properly jungle-weighted.